This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the first half of the show, we talked about the Philadelphia Inquirer's endorsement of John Kerry. In the largely Democratic city of Chicago, the Chicago Tribune has endorsed President Bush. The endorsement came as no surprise to readers, but the response has been unusually large. My guests are Bruce Dold, the Tribune's editorial page editor, and Dodi Hofstetter, the letters editor. I asked Dold why the Tribune endorsed President Bush.
The editorial starts out by quoting John McCain, saying that every generation has a fundamental challenge that it faces. And the fundamental challenge facing this generation is the war on terror. So much of the editorial focuses on that. To our mind, what the editorial says is that President Bush has taken a more aggressive stance on the war on terror, to the point of saying that we will act preemptively, while John Kerry has taken more of a law enforcement view, that we will respond when we are attacked. Kerry has not ruled out preemptive action, but there seems to be a distinction in their views on that issue, and that was the paramount issue for us. We criticize both of them on spending policy, pointing out that, yes, the president has left the nation with massive red ink. However, when you look at the Concord Coalition's assessment of both of these candidates, they would both create massive more red ink for the nation. The president largely through tax cuts, and President Kerry largely through spending. We are uncomfortable with how John Kerry has handled the fundamental issue of Iraq, and point out that he did vote, as many people know, he voted for the Iraq resolution, and it seemed to support an effort that would lead to likely intervention in Iraq when that was expedient for him, when Howard Dean gave him a hard time from the left in the Democratic primaries. That's when John Kerry became an anti-war candidate. So that didn't give us a lot of comfort all around. We pick apart some of the arguments that are used against Bush. One is that he always acts unilaterally. We point out that he has sought coalitions. He has sought coalitions in how we deal with North Korea, how we deal with the murder in Sudan, genocide in Sudan, how we deal with Iran. So those were the basic parameters of the endorsement.
Your endorsement includes this sentence: "This year, each of us has the privilege of choosing between two major party candidates whose integrity, intention, and abilities are exemplary." Why did you include words of praise for both of the candidates in your editorial?
Because I think they both deserve words of praise. When we discuss John Kerry's views and where we disagree with him, we are not going to make this a character issue. I think the whole tenor of the of this campaign has been unfortunate in many ways, the sense that the other side has no leg to stand on, and we'll get into this when we talk about the reaction to this, but many of the people who reacted, it wasn't with a sense that I profoundly disagree with you, it was with a sense that it is unfathomable to me that anyone takes an alternative view of these two candidates. I suppose that was an endorsement that could have gone further to try and trash John Kerry, but we don't want to trash John Kerry. On fundamental views, we sided with George Bush. On terms of character, we find a lot to like in both these candidates.
Let me bring Dodi Hofstetter into this conversation, who edits the letters for the Chicago Tribune. And, it's no surprise, I suppose, that you'd endorse President Bush, but was the reaction surprising to that, Dodi?
The action was very surprising. I've received more letters for this than I have for almost any other topic in the 6 years I've been editing the Voice of the People section, which is where we run the letters. The other thing that was very surprising to me was the tone was very negative, very nasty in a lot of cases. We did get a lot of letters that just, as Bruce was saying, they just couldn't believe our stupidity and our heads in the sand in endorsing President Bush. And that surprised me that they were surprised, I guess, because of our tradition, because of the conservative history we have with the Tribune. And I'm surprised that people were as surprised as they are.
Is there perhaps a letter you've brought with you that has the kind of tone that you're describing that is different than the typical letters that you get?
What I tried to do in the letters that I chose to publish was to pick the more thoughtful ones, the ones that were representative of what we received, but also, didn't carry quite the nasty tone. One that we ran center of our Sunday column said, "Surprise, surprise," and ends with, "If Mickey Mouse were the Republican candidate for president, he would be certain of an endorsement," as just saying, you know, no thought went into this, and that it would have been anybody just as long as the Republican candidate. The others were more thoughtful. I think that we did get a mix. We did receive some from people who were pleased with our choice. And those people tended to, I think, more articulate that their main concern is safety and that they felt George Bush is doing a good job with that and keeping them safe, and that they feel that sticking with George Bush is going to keep them safe for the next 4 years.
Could you tell if there was any organized letter-writing campaign or phone call campaign?
That was another surprise, actually, for the endorsement letters. We have received so many letters from the end of September through last Friday was the last time I tallied them. And in a normal month, we get between 4,800 and 7,000 letters. But up until October 22nd, we have received more than 11,000 letters. And they started to really come in after the debates began. The debates produced such a letter-writing campaign, mostly a liberal letter-writing campaign that we traced back to, for instance, the Democratic National Committee website, telling people exactly what to say, and we could tell the letters right away were the same wording. They all arrived. Many arrived before the debates even began, saying that they felt that John Kerry had won the debates.
You know, I think a lot of newspaper readers are confused. How is it that they're told reporters are fair and neutral in their reporting, yet the editorial page takes a strong position on things as important as elections? So how do you explain that the difference between reporting and editorial to your readers?
If you go back, even 60, 70 years in American newspapers, there wasn't a difference. The front page of the Chicago Tribune in 1931 on Election Day was "Vote for Cermak Today." Now, that happened to be when the Tribune had a real crusade to oust the last Republican mayor of Chicago. It's an example where the Tribune wasn't in lockstep with any, with the particular party. It is over that last half century or so that newspapers have been much more conscious about needing to, to establish that their news coverage is unbiased. The editorial board is a group of people who do only that. We are the opinion function of the newspaper. We go out of our way not to to influence the reporting coverage. Now, we get a lot of complaints from people who say that news coverage is biased. That's a common complaint around the country. You know, and all we can tell people is we specifically, there is a firewall, and we do not influence their coverage. We'll talk to them about issues. We'll get background from them. But every effort is made from the editor and publisher on down to assure that reporters don't feel that they should be swayed one way or the other because of what the editorial page says.
Now, the Chicago Tribune owns several other papers, and I'm wondering if the publisher ever overrules your opinion.
Well, I think what you're going to is whether the corporate body has an influence, and the publisher is the publisher of the Chicago Tribune, just as there's a separate publisher of the Baltimore Sun and Newsday and the other papers that the Tribune owns. From what I've seen so far, most of the newspapers in the Tribune company have endorsed John Kerry. The Hartford Courant, one of our papers, endorsed Bush. We endorsed Bush. I haven't seen the LA Times yet. The LA Times had a practice of not making presidential endorsements, and they were weighing whether to break that rule this time. Our papers in Florida endorsed John Kerry. So each paper is making its own determination, its own individual determination, based on where that newspaper stands. At the Chicago Tribune, as at most papers, the publisher does have the authority, if he or she wishes to exercise it, to overrule the editorial board to set policy. As a matter of course, I don't think that's happened once since I've been the editor of the editorial page.
My guests are Bruce Dold, editorial page editor of the Chicago Tribune, and Dodie Hofstetter, the Tribune's letters editor. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Bruce Dold, the editorial page editor of the Chicago Tribune, and Dodie Hofstetter, the Tribune's letters editor. We're talking about the paper's endorsement of President Bush. One of your editorials recently was an endorsement of Barack Obama for Illinois senator over his opponent, Alan Keyes. And was that a tough choice for you? You describe Alan Keyes as from the right wing of the right wing of the Republican Party. And so clearly you find Alan Keyes a little distasteful. But was it difficult for you to end up endorsing the Democrat Barack Obama? Did you wish that there was a stronger Republican to support?
No, I felt very good about that endorsement, and I think there was unanimity on the editorial page on that endorsement. And, you know, we had Barack Obama in the Illinois legislature had worked on a number of issues on welfare reform, on criminal justice reform, that the paper, the editorial page, and the news pages have been very, very much involved with. So we have a long record of knowing where he came from, knowing what he saw as critical issues, and being on the same side of many of those critical issues with him. It would have been a more interesting race in Illinois if Jack Ryan, who won the Republican nomination, had stayed on the ballot. But as we said in the Obama endorsement, our decision, and we think the voters' decision, would have been the same. What I like about Barack Obama is that he makes a great effort to get past partisanship. You hear him on the stump, you hear him when he's speaking to groups, and, you know, he talks, as he did at the Democratic Convention, about one nation. He doesn't take the bait. He doesn't come across as shrill. He will criticize Republicans when he disagrees with them on issues. But he really, I think, wants to change the tone of politics in the country, and I think that's a great thing. Also, I think, you know, the editorial page often talks about a culture of corruption in Illinois politics, and you see it in other states as well. And I think Barack Obama has an extremely high ethical standard. He's a very, very honest person, a hardworking person, and all of that went into a very heartfelt endorsement of him.
Since you describe Alan Keyes as being from the right wing of the right wing of the Republican Party, what's one or two of the more outrageous things that he said that would have made it impossible for you to consider endorsing him?
Oh, I think his comments about Mary Cheney simply were personalized an issue. And I think that was the point at which many Republicans in the state turned him off. You know, this is an evangelism effort, not really a political campaign.
You want to mention what it is you're referring to, the hedonist quote?
When he at the Republican convention, he was asked about lesbianism, and he said that gays are what was the quote? Selfish hedonists, and you know that just kind of awoke a lot of people here. But I think before that, you know, the party made a decision that it wanted a high profile candidate when Jack Ryan got out of the race. And it settled on Alan Keyes. Now, this was a guy who had, barely registered when he'd been the Republican candidate for Senate in his own state in Maryland. I don't think he ever got more than a third of the vote. So they just made a colossally bad judgment call and decided to hand the Republican nomination to him.
Now, with Jack Ryan having dropped out of the Senate race because of a personal little sex scandal, and then with Alan Keyes being considered pretty extreme, what state is that leaving the Republican Party in Illinois in?
We did two things on Sunday. We endorsed Barack Obama in the Senate race, and we had a second editorial saying, wake up, Republicans, what do you got yourself into? And we said they need that there should be two lessons from recent experience here. One is that they have to have candidates who talk about ethics. We just gone through, one of the reasons that the Republican Party is in such sad shape as it is in Illinois is the corrupt administration of former Governor George Ryan, who's gotten a lot of attention around the country for his stance on the death penalty, but is also under indictment now on corruption charges. The Republicans are still reeling from that. So, you know, what we said is you've got to have candidates who will reflect that, who said we need to get past that. We need ethics in government. Illinois isn't exactly known for ethics in government as Louisiana and New Jersey. The second point we made was that the folks on the Illinois State Central Committee who thought that Alan Keyes was a good choice for the Senate are out of touch with the mainstream of the state. The Republican Party had a 25-year run in the governor's office in the state because it put up practical conservative candidates, and it has gotten away from that. It got away from that with the choice of Alan Keyes. So I think, again, you know, coming from where the Tribune comes from, we may have some impact on the Republican Party that another newspaper that doesn't have a known ideology would. People do pay attention to what the paper has to say on those issues.
Bruce Dold, I'm wondering what you think about this. You know, the Philadelphia Inquirer is the editorial board is so strong in its support of John Kerry that they're writing 21 editorials over 21 days, each editorial giving, you know, expanding on another reason why they're endorsing John Kerry. What do you think of that?
I think that's tremendous. I mean, I think that's terrific, and I think the last presidential election, we did, I would say, more of a concerted effort. We had more issues analysis on the editorial page than we did this time. Our news section did issues analysis. You know, when you're in a swing state, as Pennsylvania is, that's a great effort to undertake. And I'm also glad to hear that they're putting, other opinions of, Bush supportive pieces on the op-ed page. That's exactly what an editorial page should do.
Did you feel that Illinois is being a little overlooked in this election? You're not a swing state, so people, the presidential candidates aren't actively, courting the vote of the people of Illinois. You're not seeing as many ads as the people in swing states do. And, you know, let's face it, Barack Obama really has this senatorial election wrapped up, so there's probably not a whole lot of media action on that one either.
Yeah, we feel like we're missing an action. I mean, we've supported the Electoral College, but I'll have to think twice about it. You do feel like you're missing something. Now, we're surrounded just about by swing states. I mean, you can go to Wisconsin and get a taste of the presidential election. But it is kind of an odd feeling, especially in a state that did get a lot of focus in presidential elections in the past, to feel that this one is just passing you by.
Why did you support the Electoral College in an editorial?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm rethinking it now. I mean, I think we are reluctant to make changes in the Constitution, and I don't know, given the track record, in presidential elections, it was exceedingly rare to have happen what happened in 2000. I think there were at the time of the founding fathers decided to put the time the Electoral College was created, there was an argument to be made on parceling out representation and influence. I think if you took it away, Iowa would no longer count. Most of the focus would be on the population centers, and I don't know that would be good for the country. But conversely, now as you see it is not particularly good for the country that New York and Illinois and Massachusetts and in states that are not in play, essentially are almost forgotten.
Bruce Dold, Dodie Hofstetter, thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bruce Dold is the editorial page editor of the Chicago Tribune. Dodie Hofstetter is the Tribune's letters editor. Earlier, we heard from two editors of the Philadelphia Inquirer, which has endorsed John Kerry. Coming up, Maureen Corrigan reviews a new biography of Shakespeare. This is Fresh Air.